That takes us back to Israel and his whole teaching about that earlier. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation, and I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people. Father, we pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to your word. It's not whether it's true or not. It's not whether it's real or helpful or not. It's whether we will receive what you have to offer us and give to you what rightly belongs to you. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Based on how beautiful the feet are of those who bring good news of glad tidings, which is great. Christmas season, and we're talking about that. It's a time when you really can talk to people a little bit more about Jesus than normally. But it's also eternally so, is that the Word of God will bring forth fruit. He wants us to share his gospel. He wants to bless us in this. But it's as if Paul also says now, don't be discouraged that so many people don't listen. And if you wanted something to be discouraged about, of all the things in life, and there's all kinds of things to be discouraged about, but as a Christian, one of the things that can discourage you is how many people don't listen. True. And in fact, ask Moses. He had 3 million people. Oh, great leader, great group, miracles of God every single day. Miracles. Experiencing the power of God through his hand. I'll never doubt God. I'll never have a trial again now that I know the power of God. Do you know how nonsensical that is? You will doubt. You will struggle. And you will go through hard things no matter what God does in one moment. Because life is hard. We're a fallen creature in a fallen world. We're redeemed and renewed, and we have a hope of eternal life in heaven. Get used to it, because that's how it is. That's just how it is. And you know what? Moses got frustrated with those people because they wouldn't listen. His purpose was to obey God, though, not to get a response from people. My job is to obey God, not get people to respond to me. Or get people to respond to God, more importantly, is the real issue. That's not my job. I can't make that happen. I can be faithful to what God gave me to do. But even then, life can be, ministry can be, sharing your faith can be difficult because so many people don't listen. Israel, case in point. He says, Isaiah 53, who has believed our report? Could anything be clearer than Isaiah 53 to the Jewish people in their Old Testament, in their Bible, Bible I grew up with, just the Old Testament, than Isaiah 53? I went to a, some of you have heard this, but I went to a bar mitzvah once when I was a younger man, only saved a couple of years. I went to another younger man that I knew, a boy who was like 13. I said, hey, Danny, I want you to read something here. And I picked up a Bible there at the synagogue during the reception of a bar mitzvah. And I said, read that. And he read out loud Isaiah 53 with me and my friend standing there. And that's all he did. He says, Danny, read this. And he read it and he went, do you mean that Jesus is the Messiah? I said, well, why did you say that, Danny? Because he just read Isaiah 53. I don't know what happened with Danny. I have a lot of hope for him. That was the last time I saw him. But the last time I saw him, I got to give him Isaiah 53. I didn't say anything. It couldn't be clearer. I did think I said yes, but the point is that the word comes out. It wasn't because they were unable but unwilling to enter the promised land. Hebrews 3 tells us the reason for the Israel, and we're doing this on Wednesday night. We're in Numbers 13 and 14 right now about being brought to the edge of the promised land and refusing to go in, and that's what God says. They refused to believe. They were in unbelief. And that was their problem, why they didn't enter the promised land. Were they lustful? They were very lustful. Did they have idols? They had lots of idols. Did they have other kinds of problems? They had all kinds of problems. None of those things kept them from entering the promised land. Unbelief, unwillingness to believe God. Now, it's true, I can speak from personal experience as a Jewish boy in 1971 and 72, that when I met these hippie Jesus freaks who shared with me an understanding of my Jewish Bible that I didn't have, like just even where Isaiah was, or how to find 1 Samuel and talk about David, all of it. I went to synagogue and I went to some Jewish Sunday school stuff, but I didn't know anything like they did. And these guys were like, I was in college and I did good in school, and most of these guys hadn't finished high school. And we're off the streets. But they'd started getting into God's Word, and they were learning it and being taught God's Word, and they were reading the Old Testament. They called it the Old Testament. I didn't, and I can testify that shook me up. And Paul will show more about that in chapter 11 after the first year when we get back to Romans again. But he says, I'll make you jealous here, quoting from Deuteronomy, by those of other nations who are seeking him. But, of course, none seeks after God, Romans 3. So Israel's problem or lack of understanding was really based on rebellion, a disobedient and contrary people like the rest of the universe. Not as though they're worse than anybody else, and not that they're better than anybody else, but they're a picture of mankind's rebellion to God, as well as his grace and his love to man. We should not be scandalized by their unbelief. It's everywhere. In turn, if you would, or look on the screen, because it'll be up there, I believe. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, as he's talking about the veil that's over the hearts and the reading of the scriptures in the Jewish mind, just like the veil in the temple kept you out of the most holy place, he uses that picture and talks about Moses. And he says in verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even this day when Moses is read, a veil lays on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. I can say amen to that. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the thing is that their unbelief would keep them out. And of course, God had a veil over their heart. That's true. He just said it. Did we mention this earlier, that God is sovereign? You know, I'm being facetious because of how much we've mentioned it in Romans. So God's not sovereign. Let's try that. God's not sovereign. He can't do whatever he wants. You know, it bothers us when somebody says, God's sovereign, he can do whatever he wants. There's something in you that goes, wait a minute. And that's called your rebellious self-will, because you think you know right and wrong, and you understand, and if I was God. Now, not everybody here is doing that right now. I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying it's in you. It's in the flesh. Now, just, okay, so God's not sovereign, so who is? There's this group of people over here, and they think like this, and they want, come on, God, if you're real, if you're the God that we, then you do this. But then at the same time, there's this group of people over here, totally disagrees with this group of people, and they're saying, God, if you're really real and you're really going to be sovereign and controlled, then you need to do this. Is it possible for God to be God and not be sovereign? Who would he submit to? The sky that he made, the birds that he created, the human that thinks his intellect makes him too wise to believe in the God of the Bible. God calls those things excuses, though sometimes people are in a tough spot. Well, listen, the veil was over the Jewish understanding, and where you and I and my Jewish brethren and me would say, no fair. Well, then that's no fair. Well, wait, there's more. Chapter 4. I needed one laugh on that. Thank you, Dave. That's what I worked on all week, was that line. Okay, chapter 4, verse 3, it says, but even if our gospel is veiled, now this is the gospel, which is going to where? The Gentile world. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age, Satan, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So rebellion and blindness in the hearts of men, rebellion in all causes blindness in all. To the truth of God's word, to any truth. I have the story, when I was 17, my good friend, he lived down the street, Dave Germain, great guy, and we were talking one day, and remember, when I was 17, we're talking 1969, 1970. It's hard to even believe there was a year that old. But in 1970 or 69, we're talking, and I said, oh my goodness, I read in the newspaper, I didn't read the newspaper, somebody must have handed it to me and my family or something. It said that a guy who was trying to break into a house fell through a skylight and got injured, and he's suing the people that live there. That wouldn't be big news to you today. There's lawsuits everywhere. But then nothing like that was happening. Are you with me? 1969, that was a new concept that a thief and a robber could sue you. It was a test case. And he goes, I don't believe that. I said, yeah, I know, it's crazy. I didn't realize he was calling me a liar. I go, no, it's true. It's in there. There was this article about how he's actually suing. He goes, that's not happening. I said, Dave, yeah, it is. He goes, no, it's not. I go, it is. It isn't. Finally, he goes, isn't. And he storms out of my house and goes down the street to his house. And I run and find the newspaper, getting to go in the garbage. And I find it. And I run down the street to his house. I knock on his door, holding it up like this. I go, it is. And he goes, it isn't. And he slams the door. And at that moment, I didn't have it the way to say it this way, but I knew, well, this is not about what's true or isn't true. This is about what he wants to deal with and believe or doesn't want to deal with or believe. Because my friends, when people say to me, you just believe it because you want to, I say that's not the only reason, but it is true, I want to. People believe what they want to believe. All people. Until they reach a point where they want to believe something that's true, even if they've been against it their whole life. And that's tough, but it's real. It wasn't real for Dave at that moment, but I got to give him credit. If it was a battle of pride, I think I won on that one most of the time, but he kind of won that day on being arrogant, proud, and rebellious and unwilling to hear about something that really wasn't eternal for him. But what if you do it about what is eternal? And so the light of the gospel, Jews or Gentile, illumination is needed. And I had Jewish education my entire childhood. I had very little application and very little stuck with me. I only knew Old Testament famous stories. Now, I want to make sure you understand this. My boys and girls in America and maybe other places, but it wasn't all. It wasn't the standard of how Jews live. I can't say that. There are some Jewish people that are extremely studious. In fact, in the same house, my brother was totally an egghead and loved the synagogue and was going to study to be a rabbi for a little while. And so he was much more into it. But the average guy was like me. I was an average guy. I liked sports and fun and girls and, it wasn't like I was this spiritual young man. And so so part of my lack of knowledge was lack of interest, but at the same time, so a lot of people try to think that my Jewish roots give me an edge in understanding and sharing the Old Testament because they say it to me. Now, what I want to say to you is this. Yes, if the natural branch is grafted in, we'll get to this in chapter 11, it's going to fit and it's going to be a good thing. And we've seen Jewish people excel as Christians. We have seen that in a cool way. It's not everybody. It's not all the time. It's not automatic. And it doesn't mean you have to be Jewish or a scholar to understand the Old Testament. And I learned the Old Testament because I sat like you're sitting under Gentile Christian pastors. By the way, I'm not saying I know it so well. I'm just saying whatever I've learned, here's how I learned it. I sat under people who taught the Bible book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, or concept section by section, because you don't really always do verse by verse in that. At any rate, you don't care about that. I learned, and I was jealous of those who knew, and I realized that they knew because they sat under Bible teaching tediously, consistently, willing to hear what God's word, even in the Old Testament, had to say to them. Are you with me? This is, and there are some great Jewish teachings, but the completed work of the gospel is explained through the New Testament. It's the fulfillment. And so there's even a richer understanding of the Old Testament. And so how do we know how rich we are in Jesus Christ? How do you know you're rich in Jesus Christ? Well, it's the same way if your rich Uncle Herb or some uncle that you had, and this for those of you who didn't pretend, who's really, 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 really rich, and he had a shine for you. You were his one of his favorite nephews or nieces. And he said, you know, I'm going to remember you in my will. I mean, what would you do, or your Aunt Mildred, same thing. When you know what you'd do if you wanted to know how rich you were in your relationship with him? You'd go to the reading of the will. You'd get a copy of the reading of the will, wouldn't you? Because that's where you find out. Because some other person might tell you you didn't get anything. They said you're out. I'm not so sure I trust you. Let me see it on writing. Get what I'm saying? The New Testament is the testament, last will and testament of Jesus Christ. The fulfillment, he called it the New Covenant. We call the Old Testament, we call it Old Testament because it was the Old Covenants. Why the Jews go, there's no such thing. The New Testament is a Christian idea. We have the Bible in the testament that we have. And it's not the Old Testament, it's the only testament. But we know differently. There is a New Testament. There is a New Covenant. And so this is why verse 17 is so important. You don't need to be a Jewish person or a scholar to understand the Bible, but you do need the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. The Bible tells us that in the New Testament, and you need a desire through reading and through caring and an open heart to know his word. You need, and I need, open eyes and open hearts. Open eyes and open hearts. And you and I may need to pray that God would do that in us when we see ourselves lacking in those things. You're not alone. You know, a lot of people sit in a church service and things like this are said, and all they do is keep, like, I came in here feeling guilty already, and now you're just making me feel guilty. Well, let me say, that's easy to do. Did you read enough this week? Did you pray enough? Did you give enough? That's not my goal, to make people feel guilty. It's to be used by God by teaching his word to see eyes be opened and hearts be opened. And only God can do that in you or me. But this is an avenue because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So the simple way that we would say it is, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Hearing it with an open heart and with open eyes. My testimony is great. I have a great testimony. Some of you have great testimonies. Every one of you has a great testimony, because if God did something in you, that's great. And you're free to make it known that you want to come up here and share for a few minutes, for 5 or 7 minutes, and tell a testimony. It doesn't have to be when I was 7, I got saved, and here's how. It can be God worked in my life in this way. And the reason I have you hone it down is so that your first time, you'll focus on a couple of important things to share. And if you stay within the time limit, we'll give you 20 next time. Jeff's going to be sharing a follow-up to his testimony, remember? And we gave him time even then. You kind of got grace thing going there. But we'll do it again, and so too with you. And Archie shared a testimony last week with us about, go look online if you want to hear about it. It's amazing. And so in a difficult situation, our stories are great. They're wonderful tools. But do folks need more than your testimony? My testimony? Because that happened for you. That's the way it worked for you. Yeah, well, whether you get this experience I had or not, here's what God's word says to you about his relationship with you. Here's what he wants to leave to you that he has given you and ordained is yours in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so folks need more. They must believe in their need for what we read last week and the previous weeks in chapter 9 and 10, the stone that the builders reject of offense. To the Jews, the preaching of the cross in Jesus Christ is a stumbling block. They thought the Messiah would come and make them glory, have glory again, like during the time of Solomon's reign. That would be an easy picture to follow of what they were expecting and hoping. And the cross of Jesus Christ having to suffer as a sacrificial lamb for their sins was a stumbling block to them. And it says the Greeks seek after wisdom. They want you to talk to their head at an intellectual level where they can say, yes, I happen to be bright enough to be able to understand that, and I also agree, and here's my thoughts on the subject. And it's a stumbling block to the Greeks because they want wisdom but don't want to face. Greeks means Gentile. The Jew who's in the Bible wants it to be according to their understanding of the Bible. The Gentile who's not in the Bible wants it to be according to their mental understanding of culture, society, intellect, and knowledge. And the cross says, you were hopelessly, wickedly lost. And what you really need is forgiveness and cleansing of your rebellious heart. And guess what? That doesn't play well. How dare you tell me that I needed somebody, that I'm so wicked that I needed this? So, oak water, this will heal you. Do you know what sugar water, you know how they give you a placebo, make you feel like you're getting medicine or something? A doctor who says, I don't want to tell her she's got cancer. Oh, well, you might be a little under the weather. Take some aspirin and go home, and I'll check on you in a week. Oh, thanks, doc. You're so nice. You're my favorite doctor. Yeah, he's deceiving you. And he's actually helping you die instead of helping you live. Who are we going to be? What's the real point of all this? If it isn't that, I think I've said this before. Over here, they have a really good view. It's those guys over there. They have a really good view. It's those guys over there. They act really nicely. Then that's what the gospel is, just you make it what you want it to be, and that's happening all over our world today. So we need the word of God. Hearing it from the heart, by the Spirit, embracing faith in Jesus. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 1:23 about how our hearts get purified through faith, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The word of God is incorruptible. Now, that's hard to understand because so many people corrupt it. I'll get there in a minute. It's also hard to understand this concept for people. The Bible is not just words written on a page. How many times has somebody said to you, or maybe you said it, I said it, you want me to believe a book? There's this book that tells me about God, and it gives me everything I need to know, and it's a book. You know, well, of course, the Bible's 66 books, 40 authors, 3 continents and 3 languages, over 1,500 years, so it's not a book anyway. I know that almost everybody in this room, has anybody seen a Hallmark movie? If you've seen one, you've seen 5,000, okay? Or a sweet kind of movie about redemption in a family. And almost everybody here has seen a movie where they find a diary, right? Even if the person's alive, somebody discovers what they wrote earlier, that it totally explains the circumstance that happened. It explains their heart and the love they had. It sheds light on the relationship and allows them to go get restored. They read the diary and they go, oh, I didn't know. know. I didn't know. Oh, and they run and they go, or they go to the graveyard and apologize for thinking evil of the person. And they go to the other people who are also bitter and everything gets fixed. And the great thing is the popcorn. I'm not against those movies. I obviously have been led to watch those movies. Actually, Gail's very wise. Her greatest line ever, I think, there's so many. We were watching a Hallmark movie where the people, the wrong person's engaged to the wrong person. They meet this person that they don't like at all, but it turns out they fall in love. And you get that. That's all every Hallmark story. So there's one of these going on. It's so obvious. Or there's a prince that's hiding that he's a prince or a princess. And okay, so there's the, so they're all the same. They're all exactly the same. And, you know, we've talked about it before, but we weren't talking. We're watching this movie, and it's almost at the end. She goes, oh, let's stop it. I got to go use the bathroom. She goes, oh, I'll hurry. I'm dying to find out how this turns out. I rolled on the floor. I couldn't stop laughing. I don't think I could watch the movie for an hour. And I through the day, I just kept laughing. I'm dying to find out how this turns out. I wish we had that kind of passion for the Word of God. To that she was joking about, in that there is a story that is told that is more than a story. We see God's heart and his mind, but we don't worship the Bible. We then close the book and set it down and lift our hands and, oh, God, you're so wonderful. You're so great. I love you. I'm so glad you're with me. What I talked about earlier, I think at the beginning, about being just with the Lord in a room and realizing he's with you. I didn't sit there and bow down to my Bible. I didn't kiss my Bible. I'm not even afraid when a Bible gets too tattered and torn to throw it away. There's just nothing else you can do because it's not the physical book. I mean, I show respect to the book, the form of it, but that's, don't get into idolatry. It's the Word of God that lives and breathes and abides forever. That's what we worship, is God himself who speaks to us. And you can tell a person in your life you love them, respect them, think the world of them, but if you never, you may have some emotion, but, you know, when I know you respect me, if I say something that's within the realm of my responsibility and you respect that, now I know you're respecting me. But you can give me all the nice talk you want, right? And you feel the same way. So we worship the one, not the gifted teacher, not the charismatic personality, not the miracles that happen. We don't worship any of that. We worship the person who has spoken and left his will known to us to the degree that we can know humanly by the Holy Spirit. He'll do it through his word. He has other means as well, but this is the primary message. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You need to hear it privately, and so do I. And if for some of you, you may find it really helpful to use the apps that we have available today where the Bible can be, you know, spoken out loud and you can listen to it. If you don't really, if you struggle to read, listen to the Bible on media. Listen to it. But if what you find is you put it on just to help you sleep, I do that sometimes. But if that was the only way, I wouldn't be able to explain what I'm explaining to you at all. And you don't have to become a scholar and a teacher, but you can know God's will. You can know his heart. You can read and learn to read his. You can't replace the teaching of the word either through a personal relationship of reading and asking God to reveal himself to you or the collective group of study. You can't replace it with music, even if music is godly music and has wonderful Christian words in it. That's great. It's an augment. It's a part of the picture. It's worship. It's not all of worship. It's a part of worship. And that's great. It's important. But you can't say rightly, oh, but I received the word through songs. It's not enough. Or through service. I just go and do things for people and I feel God's presence. I'm not arguing that. That's not faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You're not arguing with me. You're arguing with the Bible. Or events and emotional events that happen. These are all great in some respect, but we grow clearly by hearing and obeying God's word. But there is the question, But what if I, you know, Rick, you're pretty excited about the Word of God. Number one, you have to be because you're a pastor. I mean, we pay you to do this. By the way, thank you. Thank you for allowing me the time I get to focus on the Word of God because you guys pay my salary. I mean, I know it's the Lord, but it's the Lord through you. And I'm not asking you for anything. I don't want anything. I want to say thank you. That I am so blessed. And the schedule I have, when I said we can't meet everybody and know where everybody is, but I do get time that very few people have. I get time to spend in the morning with my wife reading the Bible. I don't have to get up at 5 and go to work or 6 or 7. I don't know if we would have done it at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? But privately, maybe. But, you know, to get together, maybe we would. But at this time of our life, we're in a sweet spot where we get to be able to be together and read the Bible together and pray. And I go in my own time. Now, sometimes I have early things with people, but I make sure that I have thankful for that. Not everybody has that kind of schedule. But that doesn't mean you don't have any schedule that you could have to put the Lord in that role. What if it doesn't seem to touch you? What if the real issue is, yeah, but Rick, I just, even when I do read it, I don't get that excited about it. I'm just being honest. You're right now, if you're here doing this, if you're listening doing this, you're being honest in your heart. I doubt if any, oh, pick me, it's me. Nobody's raising their hand to say this, but some of you are saying this. Believe me, I know. I talk to people. I just don't get the same thing out of it you do. And it just doesn't rock my boat, and I'm just not getting it. And that's a fair question. You know, I always, Luke 8, when they say, I don't understand the Bible, I'm not getting it. And what I'll just do briefly here is, you know, the parable of the sower, we know that the word of God is incorruptible seed. And Jesus says the seed is the word of God, where he throws this, the sower throws the seeds and it goes by the wayside, a pathway, that bird comes and takes it, in shallow ground where there's rocks and it comes up really quick, but when the sun comes out, it's burnt because it's got no roots. Not because the sun came out, because it has no roots. Not because the sun was hot, because the hot sun helped the trees, the plants that were rooted to grow better. It just burned up the one that didn't have any roots. And then in the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked the word, and it became unfruitful. And the one in good ground that brought forth different varying degrees, because everyone's different and God works in different ways, sovereignly. And so you take them through and it explains itself. Because you read the first part of the parable and you don't understand what it means. Neither did the people listening. And the disciples say, Jesus, tell us what this stuff means. He goes, okay. The seed's the word of God. So I asked the person, read that to me. What does it say? What's the seed in this story? The word of God. Okay. What's the first ground? Well, it says Satan comes and takes the seed. So if it doesn't get planted and it just lays on the surface, the enemy comes before they can take root at all and takes it away. Is that what it says? Yes, that's what it says. So you understand that? Yes, I understand that. They might have more questions, you know, but these are understandable things that are spoken one by one by one and explained one by one by one. So I'm giving you a great way to talk to somebody and show them the Word of God. First, look at it yourself carefully, get used to it, and let them answer it by letting them read it out loud with you. It's just a technique to help you help other people get into the Word of God. You could do other scriptures that you like better, but this is one that really works, in my opinion. And it tells you the thing that the person needs to know at the same time about how to walk with God. And then the third one is the one that's, it grows with thorns, and I want to mention this one. It's up on the Matthew. He who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and become unfruitful. I would guarantee that everybody in this room would say, and listening, almost everybody would say, yeah, it's not like I'm trying to get rich. That doesn't really apply to me. But I think almost everyone could say the cares of this life, the worries and concerns and cares of this life, okay, you might have got me there. And then Luke 8:14 sheds more light on it. Now, the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they've heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. So many people would say, it's just not me. I'm not seeking pleasure. I'm not seeking riches. But friends, do you like cotton candy? Now, a lot of you don't. There's something like cotton candy you like. Maybe it's chocolate. Maybe it's corn dogs. Maybe it's salty and savory stuff and chips and salsa. Let's break and have lunch. Listen, whatever you feed yourself regularly is what you crave. Unless you're in Malawi and all you ever eat is maize, but that's still true. Do you know what? We took a guy who was our driver, and he had a van. He wasn't really, he was probably rich in some way by their standard because he had a vehicle. So he had some capacity. He did, he was. And he had a van, and we paid him to drive us around. He was a new guy to us that was given to us by one of our pastor friends because we needed a vehicle and a driver. And we took him, and we offered to buy him food. We bought him really good food, Western food, when there was a fast food restaurant, and nobody gets to go to those. He said, hey, here's pizza. He didn't want any. And the whole time he was with us, all he wanted was his sima. He wanted his sima, which is the grain made into. In Malawi, if you haven't eaten sima, you haven't had a meal. And they're so geared, even people that get to have other food, it's like, I need my sima, all right? Because whatever you grow up with, whatever you're used to on a pattern in your life is what you crave. So if all you do is listen to the news, God help you, but that's all you'll crave, more news. If all you do is listen to entertainment and watch little videos about cats, then apparently that's what you'll crave. I mean, I love my dog, and I like to watch a video now and then about dogs, but I do not want to sit and watch dog videos all day. That's because I don't feed myself dog videos all day. When I'm not feeding myself the Word of God, I lose my appetite for it, and I want just the things that I'm feeding on all the time. What are you feeding on? You're going to have to make a decision. You know, when you want to eat healthy, you have to start by eating stuff you're not used to. People are very concerned for their physical health while their spirits are choking and dying. And so that's a part of it, whatever you're used to filling yourself with. And there's also the fact that maybe it's tough to understand. But the cares of this life, there's so much going on, I hear all the time from somebody, anybody, through the years, and I've been that person. So there's so much going on. I got so much going on in my life. To focus on the Word of God consistently or intensely right now, it's just out of the question. I don't know how to do that. Perhaps God would say to you that too much going on is exactly why you need to focus on my Word if you want your life to be fruitful. So what is bearing fruit? Well, Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, just think about if you want these things flowing in you, for you, and more importantly, actually through you is what it's talking about, but you can go either way. Love. Is anybody here doesn't want love in your life? Joy. You know, joy is not just a Christmas word. It's actually a Christian. Paul talks about joy all the time, and we might on New Year's, Christmas Eve, talk about how joy comes. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is a specific kind of patience that will give you relationships with people. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And there's no law against any of these. You'll never find yourself in opposition to God's goodness in those things. And we're not talking about good. We see God's character in Jesus Christ. And it's good to remember, without the fruit of the Spirit, you only have one option, the works of the flesh. You got one or the other. I mean, sometimes you're going like this, but you got this or this. Well, I don't want the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in me, but I do want to feel love, and I do want to feel this, and I do want to experience that. You will be very frustrated. And again, it's talking about bearing fruit. So this is what's going to come out of you. Do you want to be loving? Do you want to be kind to others? And now if I go, I don't really care about all that. I want to feel love and feel kindness and feel peace and feel. You are going to be, and I guarantee you this, and I've had a lot of years talking to people, thousands who they're here. This isn't just my opinion from because I like to talk. It's hundreds of people I've talked to stuck in that realm, frustrated because it's all about what's coming here and about wanting to have and not wanting to bear fruit. I share that with you lovingly. I'm not mad at those people. I'm no better than they are, but I'll tell you what's great about counseling. It forces you to face stuff you don't want to face. Hard. It's hard to do this right now and then not care about it as I go away from here. It's possible, but it's hard. I think that you and I are similar and that you should do what I need to do. See, I need to put my money where my mouth is. Not put my mouth there, but put my money where my mouth is. Do it, speak it, and then live it. Okay? That's what I'm supposed to do sitting here so I'm not a hypocrite. Not failure. Everybody fails in some way. That's not hypocrisy to fail, but it's to pretend that you're this when you're not. Okay? So do you need to put your money where your mouth is? Is it just me? Is it just pastors? Should you put your money where your mouth? Should you speak the word of God and then stand on it? Or is that like for me? Yeah. There's no distinction here. There's no clergy versus lady. That's a man-made thing. So I'm almost done. But I'm having too much fun even if you're not. listen, you only have the works, the fruit of the Spirit or the works of the flesh. So being honest about what motivates you in your life is okay. It's good, you know? And then there's the issue of authority. If you or I was confronted by the police or the court system, and whether we felt inspired to submit to that authority or not, it still exists. Is that true? Now, your mind, here's where your mind goes right now. If you're the typical, middle class, rural American, yeah, well, somebody needs to tell those people. So you're saying somebody needs to tell those people out there that they need to do what? Submit to proper authority. Oh, you believe in that. Are you submitted in the government? Which not all of it's proper, right? Now we have a question there and we have a whole struggle there. I'm talking higher than that. Are you submitted to God's authority? Am I submitted to God's authority in my life? Do you want to be lifted up? Submit yourself to God's authority. And I don't mean lifted up in the eyes of people. We went through this recently. But, if you were confronted by these things, whether you felt inspired, well, I feel really inspired to obey what the cop just said. Nobody cares how inspired you feel. If you're breaking the law, it's time to stop, get a ticket, whatever it is. You know what I mean? It's like you come out of the car, whatever it is. You would say that to other people. God's authority exists, and we can find ourselves in great difficulty thinking we're our own authority. Now, it's true, some people have found ways to circumvent and loopholes in the law. We do know that. But that is not so in the kingdom of God. There is nobody who's going to circumvent the authority of God. As the Christian, the believer, you need to know that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want your faith to grow? He has the first word. Three things, then we go. Three quick things. He has the first word. Hearing the word of God means letting him, through his word, take authority in my life. He has the first word. Seek him early. Seek him early in your day if you can possibly do it physically. But I also know the evening time in Jewish culture and in the historic Bible time was Sabbath started in the evening. If that's what works for you, praise God. If it works, if it works, not that this is what works for me, which I never do, but if it was going to work, it would work at night. That's like either do it or get up earlier and do it. But seek the Lord early, but also early in your circumstance. Do you wait until you have to pray, have to open the Bible? I better find an answer in the Bible now since mine didn't work. I mean, that's who we are by nature. So seek him early. Now, if his word, he has the first word. Number two, he has the unchanging word. You know, his word's eternal, so don't change your life to fit into other people's concepts of what's it all about or simply because you go through a difficulty. If you change your purpose and direction because of difficulty or emotion, you're going to get really messed up and you'll never know what you really believe. You got to weed your garden. You notice that weeds do not need to be coaxed. Oh, let me water you. Let me put a little fence around the weed. It might get eaten by a animal. No. The weeds grow, the plants struggle. Fallen world. It's reasonable that you need to tend your garden. That's why in Hosea 10, it says, verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Fallow ground is untended ground, unturned soil. You didn't take the rototiller to it. You haven't taken the pick to it or the shovel for a long time. The seed's good. The only way the Word of God gets corrupted is in people's use of it, not in its purity of itself. If you plant that seed in good soil, that seed will always grow because that seed is pure and perfect, and it never is corrupted in itself. And I need to sometimes, I've got heart. I can have a really tender heart towards the Lord here, and I can have a soft heart towards the Lord here, but I got this place in my heart, it's hard as a rock. Hard as a rock. Am I alone there? Break up your fallow ground. Well, the Word of God's not penetrating me. I'm not getting it like you. Maybe I'm just not one of those people. Maybe you're a normal human, like the rest of us, and you have an area of your heart that is really hard, and you're not letting God break it up. And you get to make that choice. He has the first word. He has the ongoing word, the unchanging word. And finally, he has the final word. God has the final word. But my words will never pass away. Somebody says, I say, have you ever read the Bible or read the words of Jesus? No, not really. I've heard about it. I go, did you know that he said heaven and earth are going to pass away, so all this is going to go away? Do you believe that? Well, I believe it because we're going to kill ourselves or, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you believe that's possible for all this to go away? Sure I do. Climate change, etc. Heaven and earth will pass away. Okay, we agree that Jesus is right. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never stop, never pass away. What do you think that means? I'm not sure I know. That's okay. Do you think it's worth your time to find out? If it's true, it's the only thing that matters. I don't think we need any more gray area about this kind of thing. We've got plenty of gray areas. Some of them are real, like you're not sure. This is not a gray area. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So you can go to church for years and not hear the Word of God, even where it's being taught. God, help us, motivate us, move us to hear his word. Amen? Some of you are way ahead of me. I'm not beating you up. I don't know how to talk without being emphatic. I don't apologize for being emphatic, but I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I want you to know what you heard when you leave here, and it not to be my fault that you didn't know what you heard. You get to do whatever you want with it, but you'll know what you heard when you leave here. And if you don't, it's because you didn't want to hear it. Because I'm being as clear as I can be. Maybe I'm weak, but I'm still being, I think, clear enough. And that's in my heart all the time. because I know I'm accountable to God. I'm not accountable to your opinion. I'm accountable to you against you. Absolutely, just like you are to me and everybody else. But my accountability is to teach, and any pastor, their accountability is to God. And if they're not focused on that, you should not listen to them. You still get to choose. Am I hearing the word of God through this person, or are they twisting it? You got to do that with me too. I accept that. But you're not going to leave this room and not know what I'm saying. You're not going to leave this TV and not know what we're saying here at this church. Jesus is Lord and needs to be obeyed and followed, and you can't do it in life, because I don't want to leave you with my intensity. I really don't. Gail's going to come up because she can. And because I want you to remember, oh yeah, go ahead. Because I need to plug this in. I don't know what Joel was in, so you'll have to find me here. Looks like number three. I thought we had a thing worked out, but we didn't quite work it out. Okay. I'd like us to leave with a song on our hearts about God's faithfulness to it. This isn't about the preacher and how he preached and all that. That's emphasis. But my hope and prayer, and I know it's yours too, is that we'll all leave here with our eyes on Jesus Christ, who he is. And you know what? With all the reason his authority is